Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning, James.
That British accent, nice. I like it. So, hope you guys have had a wonderful week. let me see. Yeah, so I'm catching you guys up somewhat. We've been going through the Devoted of God this entire year, being more devoted to God. Gone through several series, and the one that was supposed to be coming up sometime soon is our marriage series, but I had some weeks between there, so I'm kind of filling in those weeks with some things that just God's speaking to me as I'm calling out and asking. Last week, we got a lot from the Savage Race and some other things that I learned from the Savage Race this week I'll be talking about. But it's been pretty cool. Been very busy since the Promise kicked off. Life has been really busy. So I'm going through the week. I'm trying to come up with something, and then I always find myself the last couple weeks on Saturday morning going, okay, I need something here. What can you teach me? What can I learn today that I can teach to other people? And so Saturday mornings I have, I decided this last Saturday, 5:30 in the morning, I'm going, I got to start getting something, because I've got, yesterday I have to get up there to the church and mow and weed eat and clean and do all these different things. I'm going to have a busy day and then have the Promise again. So I have to get started on something this morning. And so I decided to do that thing, and I know that everybody has done this. At least I think that everybody has. I know that I have quite a bit. Have you ever had one of those times where you're just like, I have this thing going on in life. God, what can you teach me? And you pull the old, you point, and then you read that, and you're like, oh, that does have to do with this. Or, not so much. Like, King's out killing people. I don't really want to do that. So, for this one, this says, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. I like that. That has to do with today, right? So, but that's what I did yesterday morning, and I didn't do it exactly like that, because I was on my digital Bible, so it's more like, open up the YouVersion Bible, go to read, go up there where you select the book, and you just kind of scroll and point, and it's John. Okay, so John, and then it's like, 13. All right, cool. So I'll start at John 13, and that's where I started at verse 1, and started reading on that, because I'm not always one of the most humble of guys. I try to be, but there are areas in my life that just aren't, and I should try to be more like Jesus in those areas. Whenever I started thinking about John chapter 13, which we'll read here in a minute, I started thinking about a guy that I work with, and this guy is pretty arrogant a lot of the times. And Patrick has no idea who I'm talking about, but this particular guy can be very arrogant and cocky, and is well known that he's like that. But so there's this guy like that, and he's always bragging about his two championship rings back in high school, like 30 years ago or something. It was more like 10 or 15 or whatever. It wasn't that long ago, but a long time ago. But he brings those up, so like he's born a champion and all these things, and I love this guy. He cracks me up, but there's some things that he'll say that just make me shake my head. And he's like, man, how arrogant that guy is. So at the Savage Race last weekend, he was one of those guys that ran. His name is Joey. And I say that because I'm going to say Joey's mom and Joey's sister. So I'm standing there at the race. Like, everybody is over there getting ready to do the running. They're getting pumped up and all this stuff. And we're standing there. And Joey's mother looks at the kind of walkway in front of us. It's kind of wet, a little bit muddy. And she goes, man, this is going to be really muddy for the last part of that group right there. The first people are going to really make this muddy and mix it all up. And without even thinking, I just go, well, I wouldn't even know, because I'd be right in the front of the whole thing like that. And then she goes, oh my gosh, you are just like Joey, like that. So throughout the race, she learned more and more that I can be a lot like Joey, bragging on myself whenever really I had no reason to be. Like, I couldn't have done maybe 3 of those obstacles or something like that. But to hear me talk about it, I would have been leading the pack across there whenever I was talking to her. So it turns out that I can be a little bit arrogant also sometimes and less than humble. So while I'm thinking about that, I'm like, okay, so this scripture actually might be talking about me, and maybe there's some things that I can learn from this. So let's read John 13, and I'm going to start in verse 1. I'm going to go for a ways in here. I think that it's going to, 30. So John 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." So Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him, and that is why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Truly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I am not speaking to all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But the scripture will be fulfilled: he who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I am telling you this now before it takes place, and when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at a table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when he had dipped it, the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the feast," or he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. So are you guys seeing where I might need to learn something out of the passage there? Maybe all of us can. It's hard sometimes to be humble and not prideful. Well, a lot of times, like I joke about pride, but under sarcasm, we always know that there's some kind of truth, right? And so, like, you know, I'm joking whenever I say I would be leading that pack at the Savage Race. I might could have gotten two good steps before somebody passed me, but that would be about it out there. But still, I was telling Joey's mom that I'd be out running at the head of the pack. So oftentimes, though, in like technology-related things, I can be very arrogant and prideful and know more than like everybody else in the entire world because I'm a computer guy and it's just a natural thing to me. So I can be very cocky about that, but that's not like the worst part is it is something that I'm good at, but I forget to thank God that he gave me the brain that he did that I can consume computer-related stuff. Like, I haven't really messed around in Windows Registry for a long time, but I can still remember where to dig down into Windows Registry to take out startup items in there because it's like a natural thing. But put me into some other thing, and I'm not going to remember hardly anything, but I just somehow remember computer stuff and can figure that out pretty easily. But I don't always remember to thank God that he gave me the ability to learn computer stuff. So this one day this week, there was a computer problem. It was before Matt got there to work. He is the computer guy there for the most part now. And so I go over and I start looking at the problem and I do all this troubleshooting and I'm trying to figure it out. And whenever I'm just at the end and I have other things to do, I'm like, man, where is he at? So I call up Matt, where are you at? And he says, I'm coming up the hill right now. I was like, oh, sweet, I'm about to be out of this. So he gets there and I go up and I'm like, hey, I don't really know what is going on here. I've tried this, and this, and nothing worked. So my best guess is that it's probably, you know, memory. I think you added some recently. He's like, no, I didn't. I was like, well, that's what it's seeming like. So he goes over there, and as I walk by again, I see him doing the same exact thing that I'm already doing. So that, for some reason, annoys me that I've already said that doesn't work, and yet he's going to do it again. But in troubleshooting, most of us computer guys, we always feel like the guy that looked at it before us isn't as smart as us. So you have to redo all the same work again. Even if they tell you exactly what it did, you're still just like, well, they probably, you know, they didn't hit the enter key like this. They probably had their finger angled wrong or, you know, something like that. So anyway, I go to working and doing my stuff, and about 30 minutes or an hour later, Matt says, James, guess what it was? Like, I don't know, was it the RAM? And he holds up a stick of memory and tells me that that's what it was. And I was kind of like, yeah, you could have saved 30 minutes if you had just done that whenever you wanted to. So anyway, so it turns out that that was the thing. So inside of me, you know, that pride starts building up like, yes, I've still got it. I'm such an awesome computer guy. And that's how I start feeling whenever, you know, I probably shouldn't have quite been so prideful of that. I should have just said, cool, that's great, and went on about stuff. So in preparing for this message, I realized that I really don't like being second-guessed. Like whenever he went back and did all the same things that I did, which is exactly what I would have done, y'all. It's like no different. I would have, you know, Matt would have come to me and said, hey, I tried all these things, and I would have been like, well, he probably didn't do something right, and I would have done the same thing he did, but it was still annoying to me that he'd actually, you know, did all the same things and came to his own conclusion before trying what I had suggested was the next step. So I can be kind of arrogant sometimes with computer stuff, and I don't like to listen before I speak. So whenever I think about the listening before I speak, and it's kind of funny because we read this this morning in our Bible study with Big Dave, but I started realizing that instead of being like this James here, I should be more like what James, the half-brother of Jesus, said to be. And this is what he said in James chapter 1, starting in verse 19. He said, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." And he goes on to say, "Be doers of the word, and not just hearers only, deceiving yourselves." So how many of you guys have ever read that scripture before or heard it before in church? Yeah, pretty much like everybody's heard that. How many of you guys have applied that in every single circumstance since you heard it and read that? I can't put my hand up either, so I'm not going to. So it's tough sometimes to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. One of the things that we learned this morning that he was talking about is back then, they didn't all have their own little ESV or KJV or NIV Bibles. They were hearing the word. They were people were speaking it. And then they would hear that, and then, you know, some would go out and be doers of the word, and others would not be doers. They would be like the next part, talking about a man looking in the mirror. But I'm not always a good listener. I can be a good listener, and I try to be a good listener, but sometimes I'm not, and I'm definitely not a very good rememberer. Sometimes I'm like nowhere near humble at all, and I want to project as best I can Christ to everyone that comes in contact with me. So I've been given something that I need to begin working on. I have this this knowledge of computer stuff, and I use it. And sometimes I, you know, put people, you know, way down lower than what I am on the computer guy totem pole because I enjoy that and because I'm good at that, and I can become very prideful about that. So I have to work on that. It doesn't give me a humble spirit whenever I'm looking at that stuff. So we all say that we want to be like James is talking about there and be doers of the word, but and we say that we want to be more like Christ, but a lot of times we just don't really come across that way. Jesus had like all knowledge, right? He was here with like he knew everything from beginning to end. All this stuff was with him, and yet he still, with all the knowledge that he had, he's down there washing his disciples' feet. He's kneeling down, washing their feet. And I've talked about this before, and you've probably heard this, that their feet were pretty nasty. Even with sandals, they're walking along dusty roads. They walked everywhere, except for, I think, some of Jesus' disciples that said that they were in one accord. Come on. That was a joke. In one accord, Honda Accord. Everybody missed that one. So their feet were nasty, right? And yet Jesus is down there washing their feet and drying them off and being humble to these disciples of his students. And like he even knew that Judas was about to betray him, and yet he's down there washing Judas' feet and being humble with that. That's a tough one to take in whenever he knew that something was going on like that, that this guy was about to get paid off to turn him over to the Pharisees where he would be taken to a cross and killed. He knew all that was going to happen, yet he still sat there and washed Judas's feet. How many of you guys right where you're at right now could have done that? I can't put up my hand on that one either. So what are some benefits to being humble? And that's like what it's about, right? Like, we want to know, how does this benefit us? What's going to come of this for us if we start being humble, or if we're humble with people? Serving, sometimes it can sometimes make you feel like you're only benefiting others, but there is benefits to us by serving other people. A Proverb 11 verse 2 says, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom." And I've actually seen that firsthand, because it didn't happen all that often, because I'm careful with my words and stuff, but I can actually be wrong about something. There was a lot of "oh" for the recording. People were shocked. So I can actually be wrong about some things, and Amber would tell you that I can be wrong way more often than what I really am. I can find a way to be right. So anyway, it's a tough pill to swallow whenever I actually find out that I am wrong about something. And here's why it is, and especially with like computer-related stuff, right? Because again, all computer guys and technology guys, we like to place ourselves at the top of the pedestal and put ourselves way up there, and everybody else is lesser computer guys because we're knowledgeable. So whenever you are wrong about something, like had it not been the RAM and it was a video card or something, then that would have been Matt, you know, climbing up there to the pedestal, shoving me off and sitting up there on the seat himself, and saying, you know, look, and I'm down there in disgrace because of me being wrong. So if we're prideful and we build ourselves up to that level, then certainly it's going to be a long way to fall. And whenever you fall in front of your friends and coworkers and family and all these other people, they're not really going to be there to pick you up, especially if you're kind of arrogant and prideful all the time. So they're going to keep you off of that pedestal as close as or as long as what they can. And that's disgraceful, right? Just like what the proverb talks about. It's one thing to put your superior mind against other people's, but often, though, it's not just people that we're going against. We go against God, the creator of all things. We decide to put ourselves on that pedestal and put ourselves above him and say, I actually know what's best for me and for mine. And I know what you say, but it's, you know, in this circumstance here, it's actually better for me to do this my way instead of the way that you say that. Have you guys ever been there? Got some nods of yes, so some people are agreeing with me. When we choose to sin, which a lot of times it's an act of choice, we know what we're about to do, and sometimes we use grace as an excuse or whatever. It's because we're really saying, you know, God, this is going to be better for me. You say that I shouldn't lie, but in this case, if I tell the truth, then it's going to get to this person, and there's going to be this whole domino effect. So it's really the right thing in this circumstance to lie, even though you say don't ever lie. It's good to do that. It is okay to do this other thing. It's okay to do this thing. And we start thinking that we know more than God, and we're putting ourselves on that pedestal whenever we really shouldn't be. That's God's place to be. He is above everyone. So it's kind of arrogant to think that we know better than God and know what's right for ourselves and for other people. And so then whenever I was thinking about this and how it really is that way in my life, at least, that sometimes I will decide, hey, I'm not really going to seek after God in this thing because I think I know how I should do all this, and I'm going to line it up, and maybe it contradicts the word, but I really need to do it this way, especially with my temper and things like that. So I start thinking about Jonah. And you're like, oh, that's the guy that got swallowed up by the fish. What does that have to do with anything? So Jonah was being sent by God to Nineveh, right? He was going there and he was to preach a message to them. Whenever God tells him to do this, he's like, oh, I don't really want to go out there. Those people deserve to die. So I'm going to jump on this ship and head over to Tarshish to get away from those people because I want really nothing to do with that. And then because of that, you know, this tempest, the storm starts up on the ship and rocking him. They figure out that he has something to do with it, so they throw him overboard. He's swallowed up by the fish. 3 days later, he spit up onto the shore, and God tells him again, hey, you're going to Nineveh. So Jonah goes to Nineveh this time, and he was not very, very happy about this. This is, let me see if I'm at the right place. Not quite. So he goes into Nineveh and he tells them, hey, God is about to destroy your city if you don't repent. And so then what happens? The people of Nineveh, they repent. They turn to God, like earnestly turn to God. And so then Jonah is ticked off. We look at Jonah chapter 4. It says this: but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. This is talking about that God spared them. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And then he storms off out of Nineveh. Outside of their city, and he sits down pouting, and God raises up a plant over top of him to give him shade where he's at. Like overnight, this plant grows up over him, and he has a day with its shade, and then that night God puts a worm into this thing and it withered, and this plant died off. And the next day he's mad again that this plant that was giving him shade was taken away from him and died. So he's angry about this thing going away, right? And then this is what God says to him, and Jonah chapter 4, starting in verse 10 now. And the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right from their left, and also much cattle? So God reminds and that sometimes we lose focus on the things that we should care about and our pride of knowing better than God, right? So Jonah was prideful in thinking that he knew better than God and was pretty callous about those living, breathing people in Nineveh. He thought they were so wicked that they deserved death. And he knew that if he went out there and preached to them, then they were going to turn back to God and God was going to spare them. And that's what he was running away from. But people don't just put themselves on this pedestal at like a personal level. Sometimes we can do that as a group. Small groups, big groups. That's why I wanted to look at the state that our country is in right now. Like, people are saying that they know better than God how we should run our country, how we should do things, the way that we should act, the laws that we have, and then they're saying that good things are bad things are good things. And it seems to me like our country is like backwards and upside down sometimes in the way that we think about things. We have like a big mess on our hands. And this country has thrived for, more than 200 years, 1776. And we were founded on Christian principles. Like, not in the modern history books. In the history books that you read now, we weren't founded on Christian principles. In the history books now, we were founded on stuff that these guys came up with. But in the history books, whenever I was a kid and prior to that, for however long, the history books talked about this country being under Christian principles. The guys that came over here, they were believers, and they founded things over what they understood the Bible to say, and that's the way that our laws were created. But now we're veering away from what that is, and we've gone like really far astray from where God wants us to be, and we're filled with pride that we know better than God, that these things should be this way, that our country should make laws this way. It's to the point that at one time people could not imagine saying that some of the things that are okay now were okay. And now good things people are doing, they're trying to say are bad also. So it's really, really, really weird. And I think that it's time for us collectively as believers to finally like admit that, hey, we don't have all the answers. We actually need God to tell us what we need to do, and we need to humble ourselves and actually seek Him and His direction, what we should be doing, how we should be doing things, how we should vote, how we should act, how we should pray for our leaders and all the things that we need to be doing. I believe that we need to start seeking Him in that. And we need God to intervene in our country and do that quickly, or send Jesus back. So this is what God said to the people, or about His people, in 2 Chronicles. This is 2 Chronicles 7:14, and I know that many of you have seen this. I see the scripture quite frequently. It says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." And that scripture, that truth right there, is why here in just a couple of weeks, instead of doing the marriage series right away, I'm going to do a series called One Nation Under God. One of the pastors in town, over in Hood County, they've got this whole collective pastor, a ministerial alliance, and they all got together and said, we really need to have some prayer time before this election. Like, we need to get our churches together at some place, and we just need to pray over our land. We need to follow what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says and just humble ourselves and cry out to God and turn from our wicked ways, and we need to pray to Him and say, I don't have all the answers. We need You, God. Heal our land and let Him do that. So one of the pastors here in Glenrose comes to the Ministerial Alliance meeting last week and he says, hey, Hood County is doing this thing and I think that we should do this. So on November the 6th at 3 p.m., we're going to meet on the square for a time of prayer. And I hope that all of you other pastors will tell your churches about this and that we can get them there on November 6th, which is the Sunday before the elections, to just have that time of prayer there on the square. And then after the prayer time is there, they're asking that people walk out on the streets and we just pray over homes out there and not, holding our hands up like Pharisees, just walking through the streets and just praying over the people that live on these streets as far as what we want to walk. And then we go home. There's no rules for that or anything. It's just prayer, a time of prayer before the elections to pray for our country. And he said, and further on top of that, what the people in Hood County are doing is they're doing a four-week series called One Nation Under God, and they're building up to that final Sunday, finishing that off, and then meeting down there on the square. And in Granbury, they're meeting at like a football stadium or something. So that is the plan. I hope that you guys can plan on joining us down there on the square to take part in this prayer event. I think it's going to be really, really, really cool, and I'm excited about getting to be part of that. So it's going to take a bit to humble ourselves and say we really don't have all the answers. We have all of our political opinions. We have all these things, but we need to just humble ourselves and seek God's face in our country and in our lives and everything. So here's kind of the takeaway today is that we need to be humble. We need to recognize that God gives us our gifts, that He provides us life. He allows our hearts to beat. He gives us breath. He is everything, and that we need to be humble and recognize that. We need to be humble in our outwardness to others. And that's going to be difficult for me, but I want so desperately to be a doer of the word. So it gives me something to work on. I hope it gives you guys something to work on in being humble, because being prideful, again, just sets you up for that long fall down. And that's not where I want to be. I want to be someone that is willing to wash people's feet if that's what's needed. So we also need to take the time to listen to other people. We need to take the time to hear what they have to say, because some people might surprise us. So whenever we're in that place where we think that we know every bit of it, and that it can, that it's definitely this, then we need to be a person that'll listen and go, you know what, you could be right. And you know, in some cases, even if you know that they're already wrong. But that's how they can learn, that's how we can learn, and we would be humble to take the time to listen and then speak after we've taken the time to listen. My note says, even if they're 10 years old and have a pretty smart brain, I don't know if he's in here anymore or not, but... I have a bad habit with my children, and I know that there's no other parents here that has this problem. This is just me, and I know that, where your kid is talking to you, and you just kind of go, yeah, that's right. You have no idea what they're saying. Anybody else? Huh, everybody's kind of ducking that one. They're not going to admit to that. So you know, my kid can, especially Buddy, he can say some things that is pretty smart and sometimes filled with wisdom that, you know, he gets from me. There I go, I'm being prideful again. But no, he can say some pretty smart things, that kid. So the last thing is be the doers of the word. We've listened, we've read these scriptures today. We've heard that we need to be humble. We've heard that we need to not be prideful. So we need to be doers of the word. We need to take that in and actually do what we're hearing, do what we're reading, and try to be more Christ-like, because that is what's going to attract people to Christ, is He uses us to project Himself to other people. So we need to be more like Him. We need to be obedient, because it's the best way. And He promises us that if we do it His way, it's going to be better, even whenever we think our way is better. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before You today. As I come before You, God, I do feel kind of knocked down off of the pedestal that I put myself on, and I thank You for Your word, and that it always corrects me whenever I need it. God, help me to be more like Your Son. Help me to be humble. Help me to get rid of my pride that I hold onto so dearly. God, we need You in our lives. We need You to show us Yourself any given day. God, we need You to always be there in our lives to speak to us, convict us whenever we're wrong. I thank You that Your word does that. God, we love You. We want to honor You with every aspect of our lives. We want to be the doers that we're called to be, instead of just hearers. Father, give us humility. Give us wisdom. Help us to control our tongues. God, help us to be that person that people look at and say, man, I see a lot of Jesus in you. So we can stand behind that cross and we can always direct everything to you and give you the glory for everything, for the things that you've gifted us with. God, we want to give you the glory for that. God, for the things that we have, we want to give you the glory for that. God, even whenever we mess up, you're still there to catch us and love us. God, you humbly washed your disciples' feet, and then you went to the cross for people like us here today so that we could be saved, so that we could be forgiven. You knew what we were going to do. You knew what we had done, and you still went to the cross. That humbles me. God, today, help us to just walk away today with you in mind, with you in our heart, so that we can learn and grow. God, we want to grow spiritually. We want to become more and more like Jesus. God, be with us today as we're getting ready for the back-to-school Burger Bash. I ask that you would use this time tonight to bless other people in our community, to bless us. Make yourself known through us to the world. You are an awesome, awesome, good Father. We thank you for that. We thank you for your Son. It's in His name that we ask these things. Amen.